My Real Estate for Chisholm and Gayman, at home in Port Melbourne, Blackrock, Elwood and Mount Martha.
Good morning, Torsten Casper.
Good morning, Eddie.
How are you today?
I'm excellent, thank you.
Sam Gayman flat out today, but I've got him on the blower. Hello there, Sam.
Good morning, Eddie. How are you?
I am well. TK, what are we speaking about today?
Yeah, look, we've been discussing at the office this week about the spring calendar, and there's quite a few weekends where there's some really good clear run going into spring for those that aren't quite ready to put their properties on the market just yet.
Mm.
And there are some fundamental projects and spruce ups that we can do to really get our homes ready and available for early spring. So we thought we'd just walk through that.
Okay, where do we start?
Well, I guess the externals are a really important one. So
it's the first thing you see.
It's the first thing you see. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to repaint, but do you need to get a gurney and remove those cobwebs that have been building over 5 years?
Yeah.
With dust buildup, gurning the external walls can often get it back to a fresh sense of cleanliness and that vibrancy that from the original paintwork. So that's a big decision to have a look at to see where am I able to get away with, you know, a simple hose down, or do I need to paint? So that's a big decision to make.
How about Sam the garden gnome? I know you're big into the garden.
Yes, Eddie. Yeah, no, I've grown a few marigolds over my time.
Yep. One or two. So what's important about the garden?
Well, look, in terms of the garden, I think it's really important to clip things back so that you can actually see the home. It's really important for photography as well. I think one of the things that, you know, you forget when you're driving up to your own home, you just drive in and you walk straight in the front door. You're so used to it. So yeah. I think it's important to stand back, have a really good look at the home, and maybe even take a photo with your phone so you can see how it's going to present, because if there's too much foliage in front of the home, you miss some of those really important key features. You know, you might have some pretty eaves there, some pretty windows. There might be some period features. If it's a period home, there might be some tapestry brickwork that you're missing out on.
So, especially Bayside,
And also cutting back that foliage also lets more light into some windows as well that aren't getting a lot of light as well, Sam.
Yeah, it does. And I think that also, a bit of an extension to that painting thing before, Torsten, is that if your home does need a paint, it may not need the full repaint. It may be that you just have to do the facade, and maybe the facade and one side. There's often a side that's not as visible. So, you know, there are some things you can do. But I think important with the planting that if you don't have established garden beds, if things have grown over time, to get them established with some borders, to have some really good dark mulching go in. It just gives definition to the garden areas.
Torsten made a very valid point just before about cutting back around windows, because the old period homes, especially Bayside, the windows aren't that big, so you really want to get as much natural light into the house as you can.
You do, because ultimately, the more light, really, the better the result, and the more uplifting it is for people when they walk through. They just feel better about it.
Sam, getting back to your point about the painting, we recently had a fantastic auction. We had five bidders bidding on a property a few weeks back where our clients were overseas. They wanted suggestions as to what to do with the home. We actually decided just to paint the fascia boards and the front of the property, and including mirroring the front fence, which hadn't been painted for 20 years, in the same colouring.
Yep.
And also what we call the public side of the house. The rear end of the home, which we felt was going to be demolished at some point or renovated, and the what we call the non-visible side, we left that as is because that would be a project. But what that did was give a footprint for buyers to see how pretty the features were, and also they could actually see that's exactly how the rest of it could look when they actually complete the renovations as well.
This is My Real Estate. We'll be back shortly.
My Real Estate for Chisholm and Gayman, at home in Port Melbourne, Blackrock, Elwood and Mount Martha.
This is My Real Estate for Chisholm and Gayman. We know Bayside. 95311245 is the one central number to call. 95311245. If you are calling interstate, pop an 03 in front of that number. 03 9531 1245. Four offices, Torsten.
They are in Port Melbourne, Elwood, Blackrock and Mount Martha.
And we're talking spring cleaning and spring sprucing today.
Yeah, so I guess the next step is, as far as walking around the home to see, is there anything externally that stands out? Often it can be a slightly rusted downpipe, or it could be guttering that might need a little piece replaced.
Yes.
Now, they're important elements that you want to make sure that you do before you do that painting that we talked about prior to the break.
Rusted and gutters with holes looks really ugly.
It does, Eddie, and it's a simple solution to get it fixed with your local plumber, and then also make sure that you do paint it and blend it in with the actual colouring of your external walls. So
sure.
Really easy solution. If we go around to the rear of the house, and this is something if you've actually had a difficult week, that can be a bit of fun. If you've got a rear deck and there are some nails that have moved forward upwards, there's nothing
popped
worse
up.
That have
yeah.
popped up. Grab yourself a hammer and nail them back in and get rid of some of those weekly frustrations. So, again, get the deck nails all in line, and then obviously the next phase to that is, does it need a re-oil or does it need to actually have a re-varnish? So depending on what your finish and treatment of that decking is. But it does make a total difference to the way that the rear garden is viewed, because it is the runway to the garden that Sam was talking about prior to the break.
Gets back to selling the sizzle, not the sausage.
It does.
Yeah.
And I think that when we are on with that garden too, whether it's the front garden or the back garden, there's often an area that doesn't necessarily get full sun, and that might be because of some established trees. So from that point of view, you want to have a look to see whether instant lawn is going to achieve a nice green, lush look for you, or whether you look at, you know, if it's a front garden, for example, you know, if it's a small area, perhaps some of the good products, the artificial turf that you can have come down, it just greens everything up, looks better in photography.
Sorry, I'll declare my hand here. I've never been a fan of artificial turf.
It depends on the type of artificial turf, Eddie. We've had some terrific homes where because of the orientation, the front yards just are barren. And it's impossible to
because
grow.
Because there's no sun.
There's no sun.
Yeah.
It's impossible to grow grass.
Yep.
So the newer type of artificial turf does look very real.
Right.
And importantly, if you create the flower beds that Sam was talking about and you actually have an established tree in that area, it's amazing how natural it can feel with the lower end shrubs plus the leaves and foliage that do blend into that grass. So, so as I say, it can be highly effective. I agree the older style of turf used to look ugly.
Yes.
It was more of a mini golf type of turf.
Yeah, absolutely.
The new ones are incredible. It's very hard to tell that they are artificial, but certainly, as I say, if you are to border them with beautiful garden beds with that finely mulched black mulch that Sam mentioned earlier, it actually creates a wonderful bordering and lifts that front garden.
Sam.
Yeah, well, look, I think just going back to that deck, when we're coming out of winter and we're moving into spring, one of the things you probably haven't done a lot, if you have sliding doors or bifold doors at the rear living area, you probably haven't opened them a lot in winter.
Mm.
And so when your agent comes around to show off the property, the first thing they're going to want to do on a nice sunny day is open all those areas up, and for photography as well. So you want to have a really good look to make sure that everything's moving as it should, and making sure that everything's you know, oiled and in good working order. Because you know, you the last thing you want is for a door that's sticking to not be able to be opened in order to showcase the home properly.
And Sam, that goes for all the external windows as well. Quite often, people will want to see that the windows are operational, particularly with the period homes that we sell a lot of, where there are timber windows.
Mm.
They want to make sure that the sash cords are actually fully operational or the sliders are actually working.
This is My Real Estate. We'll be back shortly.
My Real Estate for Chisholm and Gayman, at home in Port Melbourne, Blackrock, Elwood and Mount Martha.
My Real Estate continues. Torsten.
So we were talking about the guttering before. The other element to that is making sure they're clear of leaves and any, often you'll find there's somehow, because that buildup of leaves that creates dirt, which grass can grow out of.
Yes.
You want to make sure they're all cleaned as well. So roof tiles, are there any visible cracked roof tiles? So making sure if there are roof tiles there that need some replacement, that again, you talk to your handy plumber that will either be able to do that himself or have the right contacts to actually guide you in that forum. If you've got a tin roof, are there any rusted elements to that? So you want to make sure if you have got a tin roof that if the tin is actually coloured, if it has actually had a paint treatment over its life, that that is fresh.
Yes.
There are companies, again, that will spray that silver or another terracotta colour, depending on what the existing colour is. So, again, what we're trying to do is just make sure we have all of the visible hard work done. But the simplest area, which often surprises Sam and I, is a lot of potential clients will not want to bother with replacing two or three fencing pales. They'll have an old fence, but it sends such a bad message to potential buyers where you simply replace two or three of those rotten palings and it completes the entire fence. And an area that Sam and I are very keen on is by spraying that fence line. We like it charcoal grey, but there are different colours out there depending on the orientation, depending on what's around you.
And if it's only one or two palings, it's not overly expensive.
It's not, but certainly by painting the entire fence, though, by spray painting, which is very cost efficient, it actually, again, frames the rear garden, and then you can actually have green foliage behind that. It's the other element that if you haven't got a lot of garden, make sure you get some really visible pots that you can put some beautiful yuccas in or different types of plants. Another area that Sam and I have been
just before really... you move on, why is charcoal grey for spraying a fence so popular? You'd think that a brighter colour would lift the garden.
Eddie, it doesn't compete with the green and any green colours in the planting or any of the flowers as well. So It actually makes the garden stand out more, and it gives a nice neutral backdrop.
Well, you could use Chisholm and Gaiman orange.
Well, we wouldn't be offended by that. We would not be offended by that as long as you had our corporate branding on the back fence as well. But certainly from that point of view, I think that as Sam has said, it actually sets a nice centerpiece and actually brings the garden to a fore. The other contribution that we've had vendors make to their gardens is creating beautiful hanging vegetable gardens or vegetable boxes that are elevated that become quite an artistic sculptural piece.
Yes.
So that's another area that you can actually really invest in fairly simply. Mm. You can build it yourself over a weekend, and Bunnings have the sleepers available and all the little bits and pieces that slide into. I've made one myself. A little hanging vertical garden, again, is quite simple for you to now buy off the shelf and create your own little visual vistas with different size pots and colour.
Sure. And more importantly, with those vertical gardens, they're brilliant in apartments.
They are, and small spaces.
Absolutely. It makes it feel larger.
And the other thing, a very cost-effective way to create that vertical effect with apartments, if you do have a courtyard, and it's something that I've done at home recently, is you can get the reinforcing that they use for concrete. And you can simply screw that onto your fence, and then you can have the jasmine, the creeper that grows up. It doesn't need to be well established to make an impact. It does look very, very good visually. So it has that sort of rusted look on the reinforcing material, and it's a really cost-effective way of doing it.
Gentlemen, once again, we've run out of time. Do it all again next week.
Thanks, Eddie.
Thanks, Eddie.
This has been My Real Estate.
Wherever you go, say hello.
1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy.